This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
WNYC Studios is supported by the Natural Resources Defense Council. Using science, the law, and people power, NRDC is committed to confronting the climate crisis, protecting public health, and safeguarding nature. They address the impact of fossil fuels on communities and our environment. They help protect wildlife, public lands, and irreplaceable ecosystems that all living things depend on. They work to enact policies for clean air, clean water, and access to nature for all. You can help NRDC safeguard the Earth for future generations. Visit nrdc.org/WNYC for more information.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So let's begin at the beginning.
Absolutely.
You had a conference call with the Democratic caucus, and you were not happy. You were not happy with the use of the word socialism, democratic or otherwise, and certainly not happy with the term defund the police, because you were convinced that it made your political life perilous and the political lives of a lot of members perilous and may have hurt the Democratic Party this time around. A lot of people disagree with you. Make your case.
I'm a Democrat because I believe in our policies. And I'm a Democrat because in the face of calls for change across our country, because of real challenges facing people, because of the death of Breonna Taylor, because of the death of George Floyd, we in the House of Representatives put together a bill that is, frankly, the compilation of things that my colleagues have been working on for years: banning no-knock warrants, reforming qualified immunity, banning chokeholds, investing in training for our police departments and in community policing programs. And we voted and passed a tremendous piece of legislation, the George Floyd Justice in Policing Act. And so, you know, my comments and what it is that I have talked very openly within my caucus about is that we have good policies. And it's unfortunate when we're talking about what we as legislators are advocating for and are working towards, that we're missing the opportunity to make sure people know that when there are calls for change sweeping our country and calls for reform sweeping our country, that we've acted on them.
So then, to put a pin in it, as they say endlessly now, what's the space between you and somebody like Ayanna Pressley or Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on issues like this? Or is it our fault, the press, or is it as it so often is? What's the space between you?
From a policy standpoint, I think, you know, looking at this particular piece of legislation, there's no space, you know. And I think that in various different districts, to be clear, you know, we are advocating for and supporting a bill like this that is tremendous in terms of the types of reforms and improvements that it would create. But when we're looking across the country, and I say we as legislators, be it, you know, someone like Ayanna, or be it someone, you know, from, you know, anywhere across the country, you know, we're looking to build coalitions to bring people together in common cause.
And so in your view, what you were angry about is the kind of rhetoric of it, the politics of it.
The rhetoric of it, and I guess the politics of it, but it's easy for us as legislators to use slogans that our, you know, politically aligned folks are using, right? But it isn't speaking to the policy. And for people who want and are demanding change and reforms, I think we have a responsibility to say, in fact, these, in response to calls for action, these are the policies that we're putting forth.
Well, let's talk about bipartisanship. Joe Biden has been in Washington for decades, and he repeatedly looks back fondly on an era in which there was a such thing as bipartisanship, whether that was reality or fantasy or something in between. You can debate that. But we have been living through 4 years in which the Republican Party has been incredibly loyal to Trump and Trumpism, including the worst of Trump, which is, takes in a lot of area. How is it going to be possible on a dime on January 20th for there suddenly to be great cooperation between the Democratic Party and a Republican Party that has been, with some exceptions, but not many, really obedient and loyal to Trump and Trumpism?
So I think it becomes a question of how much do we want to govern? We shouldn't accept a notion that we only govern when the House, the Senate, and the White House are held by one party. You know, in my district, I represent a district that has historically voted for Republicans. I'm the first Democrat elected since 1968. And I represent people who disagree with me on a whole host of issues.
Does that make you feel constantly imperiled?
You know, I had a really good life before I ran for Congress.
That sounds like a yes.
A
healthy version of yes.
In I had a really good life before I got to Congress. I love the job that I'm able to do, serving the district I grew up in, serving people. I love what is, in fact, often a challenge of talking to people who may not agree with me and working to be accountable and explain, this is why I'm advocating for this issue. This is why it's important. And bringing people to either, in some cases, agree with me when they, you know, initially might not have agreed with what is perceived to be a Democratic idea in terms of, you know, partisanship, or at least when people still disagree with me, don't disagree with me just because I'm a Democrat, but they disagree with me because they disagree with the you know, what it is that I'm actually advocating for.
Your remarks about socialism and defund the police as imperiling remarks were leaked. It was a conference call. Did you not expect it to be leaked on such a large conference call? Did you feel betrayed by that?
Listen, I come from the CIA.
That's what surprised me.
People have asked me that question before, and you know, I had. If we are to, as the Democratic Party, have conversations about, you know, what went right, what went wrong, what we should be doing moving forward, you know, I do think it's fair that I would have expected that none of my colleagues or none of their staff members who might have been on the call would leak. You know, notably,
You were speaking in effect publicly, and you didn't mind that it was leaked.
No, I minded very, very much. I wasn't speaking publicly. I caveated my comments heavily with the fact that it was meant for my colleagues, and I expected them to not leak them. And you know, notably, it was a 2.5-hour phone conversation or caucus call where the majority of the call were people echoing the exact same comments as mine. So, you know, it's unfortunate that those comments. It's very unfortunate that those comments were leaked. But, you know, what I'm focused on are the policies that matter. And we are sent to Washington by people who trust us to do the right thing, who trust us to advocate on their behalf. And on issues of, you know, going back to the beginning part of your conversation, on issues of justice and equity, like, we put forth good legislation, and that's what we should be talking about, the policy. When it comes to COVID relief, people need to know that there are many people who continue to fight for and work towards ensuring another relief bill, because that's what people need, that's what families need, that's what school kids need, that's what localities need, that's what small business owners need, and overall, our larger economy needs it.
The package that you're working on has no stimulus checks in it.
It is purely relief. Yeah.
A lot of people need immediate material relief in this pandemic. And if they don't see it, what are the odds that they're going to show up and vote Democratic in 2022?
So I think we're mixing a whole variety of things. One, people need immediate relief. We also need stimulus checks. I've been an advocate for stimulus checks. At this point, the relief bill that we've worked on, and that currently has bicameral and bipartisan support, does not include stimulus checks. It is fully relief, and the relief is extended unemployment, additional unemployment dollars each week from a federal complementing state dollars, the inclusion of gig workers, of course, support to employers through the PPP program so they can keep people employed, and that the inclusion here of programs that are meant to focus on relief. This does not negate a need for additional stimulus, and it certainly doesn't stop anyone, myself included, from continuing to advocate for, well, what's the next step when it comes to stimulus? Even President-elect Biden has talked about this package as being, I believe he referred to it as a down payment for what comes next. And I would agree with that. This is about the immediacy of relief when so many of the programs created under the CARES Act are set to expire at the end of the month. But it does not negate, nor does it stop people like me from continuing to talk about the need for stimulus as well.
Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.